Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. Do not forget to follow us on Instagram at TSN1050, where there will be Insta stories, some best of clips from the show, and some very cool contest opportunities to win tickets and more. Again, on Instagram at TSN1050.
This is the home of Jerry's percentages.
Maybe I'll send a drunk text to Quebec City. You up? Or should I say, qu'est-ce que c'est?
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
The draft is just over a week away, free agency a couple of weeks away, and typically the Ottawa Senators, it's always all about them. They need the spotlight all the time. Always stealing the spotlight from Toronto.
At this point, I don't think they want it.
Well, you know what's interesting about this? Because we've been talking about this story out of Ottawa all day.
Yes.
Erik Karlsson, his wife, going to court with the accusation against Mike Hoffman's fiance that she has been harassing her online for the better part of a year, or at least dating back to the fall of 2017. Those are the allegations, and vicious allegations as well. I mean, the comments that have been highlighted about their stillborn child, about Carlson's career, about her life and her security, really ugly stuff, deplorable stuff. But the Colangelo story, when that came out a couple of weeks ago, people in the NBA were disputing and debating whether or not this was good for the NBA because it kept them in the news cycle. And I guess from an NHL perspective, even though this is really a dark story, really dark, based on the comments that were factual, that happened.
Now, I love how, by the way, the account has been all of a sudden deleted now.
All of them are deleted. All of them are deleted. And the difference between, again, the Colangelo story, where we believe it was his wife, or at least that's what's gone public here, was she was supporting her husband, taking runs at guys, but professional runs, not despicable runs.
Right.
You know, Sam Hinkie, Masai Ujiri, other guys like that, players, and revealing state secrets, which ended up causing Colangelo's job and maybe his career. But this is stuff where someone was harassing Carlson's wife.
Disgusting. And all some other wives are piling on top and supporting Erik Karlsson's wife.
That's where, that's the spicy meatball. Because Andrew Hammond's wife and Kyle Turris's wife would have been privy to all of this information. They would have been right in the middle of it. Now, both of those
players are gone out of the organization. Well, what's going to be a spicy meatball is if somebody knew about the fake account and rats her out and says, yeah, that was her. She told me she did it. She had it. It is just, I told you guys in the last hour, I take a step back when talking about this subject and just say, like, is this real life?
It's real life.
In 2018.
It's real life. Well, this is what happens, man. People become heroes when they hide behind anonymous Twitter accounts.
This is being a complete you-know-what.
Absolutely. But there is a level of, I can get away with this.
Right.
And I can do it. No one's going to find out it was me. Right. And that's what's happened here, because these were burner accounts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were created basically based on the piece with the purpose of harassing Erik Karlsson's wife.
Right.
And it was happening constantly.
What, you said up to 1,000 or over 1,000 times?
That's what they told the courts. Up to 1,000 times that they were harassed.
And O said last hour, and this is, I really wholeheartedly believe this, it must have taken a lot. Like, they must have gotten to a point where it said, to hell with this. Like, it's not just one comment and one awful offside comment, which Erik responded to on his Instagram. This must have been something building and building and building.
Daily abuse.
To the point where Carlson's wife goes to him and says, I've got to take this public. Like, I'm filing suit. Like,
yeah, daily abuse where it catches your attention. You're like, this is just, you get the odd comment once in a while and you block somebody or whatever, but when it's time after time, thousands of times, you're like, this is just not normal.
Yeah. And now Mike Hoffman has come out and said, it's not me, it's not my fiance. We have
nothing
to do with this.
Like, we just, like Colangelo, and I said the same thing about Colangelo, where I said, you hope this guy didn't do it or whatever, but all signs are kind of pointing towards that he's involved with this.
You're guilt by
association. And Mike Hoffman, he better, you know, he's got to do his own little research here and say, you know what, if she did this, I can't be associated with that. I know you're in love, it's your fiance, whatever, you stand by your partner, but Well, he might never play again in the NHL.
That's what he's got to consider, is that no other team, including the Ottawa Senators, will employ him. Now, he's under contract for another
year.
What the
hell kind of trade value is he going to have right now?
I honestly, I'm not being hyperbolic.
It's zero.
I think it's zero right now.
Right now, like, until something gets sorted out.
Absolutely. I can't picture a GM in any other market going to their owner and saying, I'm about to acquire this guy, just so you know, his fiancée is being accused of goofing on a couple's stillborn child.
Right.
And harassing that woman and saying she wishes she died and that Erik Karlsson's career came to an end.
Right.
This is who I'm bringing into my organization. Fairly or unfairly, I think he's off the trade bait board. I really do. I can't picture him being traded right now because I can't picture another party, another team being like, we'll take this on until it's resolved. Once it's resolved, and if he's exonerated and he had nothing to do with it, then you move on with your career.
You're right. It does get resolved, and he has blood on his hands.
I honestly, I'm not convinced his career will continue beyond the 1 year left on his deal. I don't know if you can overcome knowing that your fiance was harassing a teammate's wife.
If she is guilty, you have to remove yourself from the relationship if you want to continue a professional hockey career. I'm sorry, that's just the truth.
But even that may not exonerate him.
What is she going to do, come out and say, you know what, I kind of screwed up a little bit, I'm sorry. No, wrong.
Who do you think's got a better chance of being in the NHL or NBA 3 years from now? Mike Hoffman or Brian Colangelo?
Neither.
I say Hoffman.
You had to pick one.
I say Hoffman.
Maybe Hoffman, because somebody always wants a guy that can get you 25 goals. I don't know.
I say Hoffman. I think this is
restricted,
this is
rule in his contract, team parties and no wise room.
But it may take a shift in his life. I mean, you know, people are comparing this, like, obviously the news of the day was Voinov wanting back in the National Hockey League. Now, this is a guy who was, I believe, or was convicted, and he's suspended by the National Hockey League. Like, that's a different story. I don't think verbal and physical, I know they tie together, but one could be worse, or one is worse. And it's not, because we don't know the mental abuse that Melinda Karlsson went through. That's awful. And to lose your child and all of that. So on different levels, you're right. They could be parallel, but I see a lot of people kind of drawing a line to them.
Well, domestic abuse and the Slava Voinov story, I can't picture where that's going. I think he'll probably get back into the NHL.
Right.
I think maybe the Kings will accept him back into the fold. I think if he does get accepted, the NHL is going to have to penalize him. He's going to have to sit out for a number of games.
Right.
I don't think the penalty of him fleeing the country and going back to the KHL is enough.
Right.
But listen, in generally speaking, I'm a proponent of people getting second chances.
Right.
And maybe that's what happens with Mike Hoffman. Again, I don't even know if this is true. These are allegations right now. We got to be very careful with that kind of stuff. And we don't know if Hoffman, let's say it was his fiance, we don't know if he was privy to any of this. I don't know.
Right.
Only he knows that right now. But this is a different slant because it's involving a teammate. And it's not just your personal life behind closed doors. Like, this is going into the room, which is the most sacred room in
it's a great
in sports.
Point. It's
I mean,
a great
this
point
is,
you make.
So I don't know. I don't. Who knows, man? I don't know how GMs are going to handle this. I don't know how
you
the
know
teams are going to handle
though?
This.
This is.
We got to wait for more dust
this
to settle.
Is, but this is the world we live in. I keep saying it, but this is uncharted territory. This was not around when you and I played. Oh
no,
there was spats.
Yeah,
there were certainly
people that didn't like each other.
Didn't like each other. Wives that didn't get along and all that. This is a different level. This is how people deal with those. Those things, those fights now, they stab each other in the back. They do these things online.
Disgusting,
instead of just sorting it out face-to-face, people are gutless.
Do you think this is the biggest story at the draft?
Absolutely.
Well, it is on many levels.
Everybody knows who's going first overall. Second, probably third.
I still think our buddy Lou will make a splash somehow, just because that's new organization. He's got a lot of work to do there. I think Bergevin's going to try and do something because they've got a lot of work ahead of them.
In Montreal.
I think Shirelli may have to because he's got a lot of work ahead of him. But as far as storylines, Pierre Dorion is going in there without his AGM because his AGM is in some hot water.
In court in Buffalo.
So, and then he's also going in there with this over his head. So even if there is a manager out there that had interest in Mike Hoffman, Pierre Dorion may have had a deal for Mike Hoffman. And we'll get it done at the draft.
I told
and all
you
of a sudden
what my
this
routine would be if I'm
released.
Pierre Dorion. Forrest Gump, hard left outside the driveway.
But
you know the thing. You know the clip.
I would run to the high heavens myself.
But we're 5 weeks in. They've known about this for 5 weeks.
But that's a better question, or one of the many questions that I'd be curious to find an answer on.
Were they knowledgeable about this?
When did they find out? But at the very least, they knew as of May 4th. That's when this went to court. There's no way they're just finding out about it because the Ottawa Citizen is reporting it. There's no way Ottawa can claim that they haven't known about this since, at a minimum, May 4th.
Correct.
Of course, they knew that this was filed and this was going on. So let's say they have been talking Hoffman trade for the past 5 weeks. Were they telling teams that this had happened? Don't they have an obligation to do that?
Just because of you can't sell somebody damaged goods. It's like almost somebody with an injury.
Absolutely. I think you have to. Mm-hmm. But if they weren't, then they have a whole another gong show on their hands where GMs, I would think, would be calling them being like, oh, really?
Yeah.
So we were talking about that Hoffman trade and you didn't tell me about this.
Yeah, I would imagine there's some transparency.
I would hope so. I think you'd have to. But if they were telling people, why is it just getting out now? You know what I mean? Like, if you're talking to different teams, I'm surprised it took this long. If they were in court May 4th,
I don't know the level. And the reason I asked a couple hours ago when we were talking about it was when the awful what happened to the Carlsons in losing their baby was after the trade deadline, because if that exploded at that point, if that was kind of the peak of the volcano. What do? You ride out the rest of the season and deal with it in the off season, and hopefully, I mean, you're dealing with Carlson, you're not sure what you're going to do. Maybe you try and keep it under wraps because you don't want both of these players to their value to go down. And I'm not suggesting Eric Carlson's value. He's done nothing wrong. There are victims here. Eric Carlson and his wife are victims here. They tried to start a family and it didn't work out in the first time. They'll have a family. I'm sure we're confident in that. But it's just whoever did that, because you can't just assume that that's Hoffman's fiance. She's accused. Whatever piece of garbage did that, they should be brought to justice.
Absolutely. And we'll see where it goes. There's going to be a lot of... Now the media's on it, too. They are going to be digging and investing a lot of time into this. Bob McKenzie in about 10 minutes.
Well, someone's going to do the investigation that the guy did in Philly. They're going to try to dot the I's and see where these tweets came from or Instagram messages.
But again, a different angle here is Ottawa's complicity in all this. And I'm not saying they were behind the tweets, but when did they know?
Right.
When did they know that the Carlsons were starting to put two and two together? When were they approached? What did they do to try to stop it?
Right.
Like, that's a whole nother
angle. Well, if NHL security was involved and stuff like that, which I would imagine it would be, they would have had to have been privy to it, you know, whenever Melinda and Eric decided to pursue this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You guys see that Lonzo Ball released a diss track directed towards teammate Kyle Kuzma? Like a rap calling him out for so many different things. And
is the kid?
This is Lonzo Ball, player.
Not even LeVar. Like
and LeVar is now doing the media rounds.
What
about
world are we living in?
Well, this is the Los Angeles Lakers.
That's what it is.
People, I would cut him immediately.
People believe are in the driver's seat to court and acquire LeBron James. And LeBron is going to be meeting with Magic Johnson, who I'm sure he's got immense respect for. But don't you think LeBron's first question has to be, how could you draft Lonzo Ball, knowing that this guy and his dad, they're going to screw everything up?
Yeah.
And if you're LeBron, how are you not going to go into that room and be like, am I going to play with these two guys? Kuzma was like an all-rookie, great player. Lonzo Ball's got a ton of talent,
I'm not being crazy right now. I would release the player immediately. Just say, go and do whatever you want. We screwed up.
Well, you trade him.
No,
you
can't release
value.
It's a second overall.
I'm getting him out of the... I'm getting rid of him. Him, the dad, the whole scenario, the rap songs, the garbage.
But you have to do it... I know what you're saying, but you do it in a business stance. You don't just walk up and go, you're gone. You trade him.
This is on Magic Johnson, though. He knew what he was walking into. Everyone knew what LeVar Ball was all about and what his antics were going to be like. Now, maybe it works out anyway. Maybe they get LeBron. Maybe he wants to be a Laker. Maybe he wants to live in L.A. Maybe Paul George, who's from L.A. and has always spoken openly about wanting to be a Laker, comes there anyway. But you're not going to muzzle LeVar Ball. And no. Lonzo Ball obviously doesn't feel like he has any obligation to be muzzled. Like a diss track, you release a rap track dissing your teammate, your rookie teammate. Like, this is, again, what world are we living in?
This is
not a guy in a different team.
This is 2018, where everyone is individualistic and they care about themselves. Like, you've even said it at length this afternoon. Like, the fact that it's in-house, it's in the sacred area, which is called the dress room, that's not sacred anymore.
No, it's not. It's out there now. Lonzo and Kyle Kuzma don't get along. Aren't close.
I want to hear a story.
Can we hear the song?
I want to hear
find a song, Moles.
I want to hear a story of old school retribution where two guys don't like each other and they go toe to toe in the middle of the room.
And then they're best friends afterwards.
Exactly. That doesn't happen anymore. Because you know what? You can't hurt anybody's feelings and you got to make sure this. Like, you can't do it. This is just complete garbage.
It's insanity.
Like, I can't. I don't even know. Like, obviously, I wasn't married when I played, but if somebody did that to my wife, I'd break my stick over their head.
Oh, I would be going nuts.
And the thing is I, like, that's the type of stuff, like, I can't believe if this was going on for months, the Senators were able to keep, they didn't keep things afloat on the ice, obviously, we know that, but even just keep this out of any type of earshot of anybody.
Because
you know what life is all about today, it's all about leaks.
Exactly. Well, and that's the thing, when it goes public, like, now the Carlsons and the Hoffmans are in court, so it's public.
Right.
Lonzo Ball is releasing a statement, essentially, in the form of rap.
Right.
That he's goofing on his teammate, Kyle Kuzma, and those are two pillars of the organization. Like, Kuzma was an all-rookie, he was brilliant this year for them. Ball, they took second overall. He's their point guard, he's the general of the future.
Right.
Going to be primary pieces in Magic Johnson's pitch to LeBron James on why he should come to L.A., yeah. But don't listen to that crap over there.
Yeah, this guy.
Like, it's just, it's crazy.
It is.
It's a circus. Like, that's what, and it's content for days. I'm not complaining about all this.
This guy, TC, writes to me, what would Chaser do? Could you imagine?
Just go crazy.
He would get on an airplane wherever the guy was and fly to his house.
I know. Like, and kick and the door.
And he would kick the living piss out of somebody and then have an exchange with his wife.
Yeah.
Or imagine you released a diss track of Chaser back in the day, just chirping his skating style and how bad his helmet is.
Yeah, if I was mad, remember I told you the story where Chaser punched
me in the head?
He
would kick your ass on a regular day if he was just in a bad mood, let alone this stuff.
Remember I told you he punched me in the head in practice in morning skate because I put the rebound in the corner, it was too far for him to skate to?
Mm-hmm.
What if I released a diss track that afternoon?
Yeah.
He would Wendell on, who was
Bruce
that, John Casey?
Casey.
John Casey. Remember Casey. He just pops John Casey in the back of the
That's
head?
That's right.
Yeah, that would be you and Chaser.
I don't know where this world's heading.
I don't know.
But
well,
this is
how about Dennis Rodman's on CNN last night? He's the diplomat. He's the diplomat. Like, yeah, Dennis Rodman
is keeping the world held together.
I know, but
is
West
the glue
Hollywood,
guy.
They gave the key to the porn star.
Stormy Daniels.
Yeah, she got a key. Like, where is the world at?
I think we just need to leave. I think Mars, come find us.
Elon Musk. This is
nuts. Get us to Mars. Get us out of here. Rodman. Dennis Rodman is the glue guy in international diplomacy.
The voice of reason.
The voice of reason. Stormy Daniels Day in Hollywood.
Yeah. Just
diss tracks, Twitter burner accounts, Instagram comments.
I give up.
Bob McKenzie next. So I guess Draymond Green was speaking today, and he took a shot at Tristan Thompson. Everyone's taking a shot at everybody else. It's very entertaining.
It is, but...
He said, quote, "There's a lot of guys in this league, they're soft. After the game, Tristan tried to shake my hand. I said, Tristan, we ain't cut from the same cloth," end quote.
I just tried to shake his hand.
Why does that have to be revealed?
Oh, yeah. Who said that?
Draymond Green.
Yeah. He's never got a side piece in his life.
Just trolling. Well, I mean, you know, yeah, Tristan Thompson.
What's the sayings, though? Like,
Tristan Thompson's probably not in a comfortable place right now either.
He doesn't have the court to disappear to anymore. He can't say, I'm going to practice, or sorry, we're on the road.
Right.
You're at home with the Kardashians explaining yourself.
Yeah, he's
with
got the anchor.
Presentation, a television presentation of what you were doing, and tell me what this was right here, sir.
Yeah. He's got an ankle bracelet on right now. That's what he is. He's on house arrest.
Exhibit A, Exhibit B.
Exhibit A and Exhibit B together with you.
That's exactly right. A and B were in there. You guys want to hear Ovi quickly from the parade earlier today?
Awesome.
Before the year, I said, not me say, it's just us saying, we're not going to be sunk this year. We're the Stanley Cup champions.
That's awesome.
Just a caveman, just yelling and screaming like a Viking. I love it. The Hockey Insider brought to you by Finance It. Here's Bob McKenzie. How you doing, Bob?
Excellent, boys. How you doing today?
Good, thanks.
We're doing pretty well. The Caps are saying they're going back to back. Would you place money on that happening? Or
I wouldn't. It's hard to do, and I mean, it took them 40-some odd years to do it once. But this group, I mean, listen, they're a good team. And I think we all kind of forgot that for a while because they won the Metro Division. They finished sixth overall in the league. And there were other sexier choices for Cup favorites. You know, Winnipeg, Nashville, the Royal Vegas got on. Those were the big three from the Western Conference that people were thinking, which one of those teams is going to win the Cup? And then in the East, you know, Tampa and Boston seemed like the top two teams for much of the season. Pittsburgh's the defending Cup champ, so even though they didn't win the division, we're like conditioned to think, well, they'll just turn it on when it gets to the playoffs. And the one team nobody talked about was Washington. So I'll play into their script for next year and say it'll be really tough for them to repeat.
Want to get to your comments from, I think it was yesterday, you were on Leafs Lunch, about Matthews and Marner and their contract situation. Take us through your read on that. Explain what you were saying on the lunch yesterday about the timeline and how you see this playing out.
It's all highly speculative because right now I don't think there's anything to report. If I'm not mistaken, Kyle Dubas talked to the agents for both players at the combine. And just basically said, you know, hey, we'll talk and we'll try to get this done and what have you. So that's kind of where we're at. Now, everybody wants to know what the number is going to be. How much is Matthews going to get? How much is Marner going to get? Is Marner going to want close to what Matthews gets? All those things. And those are all very fair questions. But I think even before we get to that, the first question I would ask is, when are they going to do this? If, you know, there's a school of thought, and it's just, you know, I'm not saying it's directly from the players involved, but there's certainly a school of thought that maybe it's in their best interest to wait a year. You have the option once July 1 rolls around to do an extension, and lots of players have done that, Connor McDavid amongst others. But, you know, this might be a situation where if you're looking for a certain percentage of the cap, then why wouldn't you wait a year? Because the cap will be more next year than it will be this year. So if you ask for the same percentage this year and the same percentage next year, you're going to get more next year. If you have confidence in yourself as a player, and I think Matthews and Marner have a lot of confidence in their ability, there's nothing better for a player coming out of entry level than to have an unbelievably good platform year in your contract year. So I'm not saying that they won't do a deal this summer. I'm just curious to see whether they will. And then the secondary factor that I wonder about is, will Matthews in particular go down the 8-year road like Connor McDavid and so many others have done? Or do you take a page out of the Steven Stamkos 5 years out of entry level, or John Tavares, I think, did a 6-year deal out of entry level? And give yourself some options when you're 27 or 28 years old to look around and decide if this is where you want to be. So those would be the two questions I would be more curious about than the dollar values, although ultimately it's the dollar values that everybody's going to care about because that tells you how you can or you can't put your team together.
All right, Bobby, the Coors Light slow pitch tournament's over. What the hell's going on in Ottawa?
Wow. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can look at this story, but I think probably because there are so many there are so many layers to it. We should probably go back to the very original premise, and let's get that stated up front. I don't think anyone in life, never mind hockey, in life, could experience anything worse than what the Carlsons experienced when they lost their son Axel.
Right.
And that's first and foremost. And then to have to deal on top of that with cyberbullying or trolls or whatever exactly was going on in that instance. I mean, that's unfathomable to me. I mean, it's bad enough you've experienced the worst loss imaginable, the loss of a child. And now there's people online who are mocking you and harassing you. And, you know, that's just so depraved and so sick. I'm not even sure there are words for it. So that's first and foremost. So now the thing goes to another level now, because the Ottawa Citizen story reported that the Carlsons basically went to a justice of the peace and have basically, you know, the equivalent of a restraining order, I guess, or something along those lines for Mike Hoffman's fiance, and a teammate and somebody who these people would spend a lot of time together in the wives' room. And so obviously, on another level, quite aside from the personal level that the Carlsons are experienced, which I said is paramount, what it does to the hockey team, what it does to the relationships, and that is layers deep and is a mess of extraordinary measure, but not even anything close to the tragedy that the Carlsons experienced. So I don't know where we go from here. It'll be interesting. We know Hoffman's been on the trade block for a while. I think there's probably part of that reason was related to this. But I also know that when Hoffman didn't get traded at the deadline and then really started to play well with Duchesne, there was a thought, hey, you know what? They got some good chemistry here. This could be a real good duo for us next year. Carlson's future in Ottawa is obviously up in the air. So there's so many moving parts from the hockey side of this. And then you've got everything that's going on with the Randy Lee court case in Buffalo, for allegations of sexual misconduct and harassment of a shuttle driver. It's really, really a tough time for the Ottawa Senators. But as I said, as we sit and try to figure out the whole dynamic and what it might be like in that dressing room or what it might be like in that wives' room, I think you still go back to the initial premise, and that is the Carlsons lost a baby and there were people who were mocking it and harassing them, and that's just sick.
Bobby, wouldn't you think that if Erik Karlsson would go to this extent, like, wouldn't he have done research to figure out that it was actually this woman before he went to the courts with this?
They obviously, listen, like a lot of these allegations, in order to go to a justice of the peace and take, you know, pretty significant action, they're absolutely convinced that, you know, they're on solid ground, that that's the case. Now, the flip side of that, and people get offended sometimes when you say there's a flip side to it, because as I said, once you start outlining what the Carlsons have been through, I mean, you could say, well, there is no flip side. Well, yeah, that's true. But anybody who gets accused of such a horrendous act, I mean, you should have an opportunity to defend yourself against those allegations. And Mike Hoffman says his fiance and he are not responsible in any way, shape, or form. And whether it comes out in the wash or not, I don't know. I noticed that, you know, and it'll pile up for Hoffman and his fiance, because I see some of the other Sens wives, past and present, are sort of rallying to Eric's wife's defense, Julie Turris, and I believe it's Carly Hammond, Andrew Hammond's wife.
Yeah, and at the same time incriminating Hoffman's fiance.
Yeah.
I mean, right. Indirectly incriminating
her. Yeah, you know, and exactly. And I think my guess, and it's just a guess at this point, is that at some point, because this did get to the formal level of getting the legal authorities involved, and obviously the police as well, that I think there's probably been, Hoffman has probably said, listen, if we didn't do this, they're denying it, we didn't do this, and if you've got proof that we did do it, then supply us the proof. And to this point in time, as near as I can tell from whatever I'm led to believe, Hoffman's haven't received something, and I don't know whether they ever will or not at the end of the day. you know, the Carlsons took whatever action that they deemed necessary. So it's not a good look for anybody. And but as I said, I don't even know how to comprehend what the Carlsons have gone through on that whole front of losing a child and then being, you know, the harassment that ensued.
With Bob McKenzie, Hockey Insider, based on your understanding of tracking this kind of stuff, I mean, it's a different context, but talking about a trade with Mike Hoffman, with this hanging over him, and let's presume Ottawa has been aware of some of the details, right, or at least some of the complaints, maybe the accusation. Is this the equivalent of knowing a player's injured? And in other words, do you think Ottawa had an ethical and moral obligation to be telling the teams they were talking to about a potential trade with Hoffman that this was in the works? That this could be happening, and if we trade him to you, be ready, because...
Generally speaking, I think that's... In my history in the National Hockey League has always been sort of buyer beware.
Really?
Do your homework. Oof. And
man, that's a tough one, wouldn't it be, Bob? I mean...
I mean, it's like, you know, the... Hey, listen, I'm not going to cite examples, but anecdotally, I can recall you get a...
Recite.
Don't say me. Just don't say me.
yeah. But, you know, I mean, hey, listen, you know, it's always a fine line between what's true or what's not true, what, you know, the levels of things. You know, as an example, you know, you get over the course of time, we've heard players of this guy's got a reputation for being a bad liver or whatever. And then the team trades him. Well, if the new team finds out after the fact that he actually has a abuse problem or whatever, who's that on? I mean, if you're trading a player, are you supposed to say, well, he's got a lot of character flaws and he drinks too much and breaks curfew a lot? I mean, you know, that's, you know, now, as I say, technically Mike Hoffman, you know, he. As I understand it, just what I've read in the Ottawa Citizen, Mike Hoffman is not charged with anything. Mike Hoffman hasn't done anything. But to your point, if you're going to trade for Mike Hoffman, and this is all part and parcel of what's going on with Mike Hoffman right now, well, obviously it's buyer beware and be well aware of it. But I mean, ultimately, it's on the responsibility of any team that's acquiring a player to do its homework and know what they're purchasing.
Well, that is tough.
I've so many times guys get traded to your team in the first road trip. It's like, this guy's a disaster.
Yeah,
how the hell do we get this guy?
But this is in the public though. Like if Pierre Dorion tries to move Hoffman at the draft, like you would have to think the team that's acquiring him have to do their due diligence to, if something happens, like, you know, charges or whatever, like, we have to deal with that spicy meatball in our organization.
I can't picture
now
a team acquiring him.
I'm a GM, and I never will be one. You'll be first on my list, not touching ever.
Bob, would this hurt Mike Hoffman's trade value right now?
I suspect it's going to play a factor in what his value might be right now. Absolutely. But, you know, that is, some teams will look at that as an opportunity. I mean, you know, hockey teams are notoriously pragmatic, and if you can get a 30-goal scorer at a discounted price because other people are afraid to jump in because of, you know, this story that's going on or whatever, there'll be teams that say we view this as an opportunity. I mean, and again, there'll be a lot of people who say, you know, that should never be the case, and they'll say, you know, they'll tut-tut, and I understand that because there's, you know, human being sensibilities, and then there's professional sports sensibilities. I mean, there's lots of talk about, you know, Slava Voynov wanting to come back to the National Hockey League, and people are apoplectic about it because of the horrendous abuse and the charges and conviction that he got whether it was a girlfriend and now his wife, I guess, domestic abuse. And the National Hockey League won't let him come back without serving a suspension of some kind. And there's a million roadblocks why that could happen. But as others have reported, there'll be no shortage of teams that look at Slava Voynov and say, "Hey, this guy's a really good defenseman. We want him on our team in spite of, and that really offends a lot of people. And as well, I guess it should. But you know, again, it's teams will do what teams think they need to do, and obviously, if there's a lot of backlash, then they have to deal with that, and maybe that'll scare them off or whatever. But anyways, that's the nature of the professional sports business, and I mean, it's probably true in finance and industry and all those things, we've obviously, in our society, has evolved to the point where the values, human values have played a huge role in altering the landscape in the movie industry and entertainment and the Me Too movement and everything that's gone on. And that can also apply in many instances to professional sports. But I mean, still, there's lots of people who say that professional sports leagues don't take a hard enough line on a lot of different issues like domestic abuse or harassment of all kinds. So anyways, it's heavy stuff. But obviously in the meantime, the teams are conducting business and they're trying to win hockey games, and they walk that line between the two.
All right, Bob, we'll do it again later in the week. Thanks.
Excellent. Thanks, guys.
Bob McKenzie, the Hockey Insider, brought to you by Finance It. Add a payment plan to your tool belt and break down large price tags into easy, affordable payments with Finance It. Nick Nurse, the new head coach of the Raptors, will put a bow on that. We've talked about it extensively throughout the afternoon. We'll get to that next. Hoping to have Nick Nurse on, if not tomorrow, then by the end of the week. It has not been official yet, or it hasn't become official yet, but when Woj tweets out that it's happening, it's happening. So yeah. Nick Nurse is the new coach of the Raptors.
And great job by our J-Lew, too, following the story. He's basically been on top of it the whole
all
way.
All over it. Yeah, he's been saying Nick Nurse was the guy pretty much since day one. He was
excellent
the first guy to say that
Dan
Casey was going to be on the way out. Josh Lewenberg making things happen.
He has had an impressive summer.
He's had a,
with
he's
the
had
knowledge,
a good run, yeah.
Kind of...
We have to
very impressive
props.
Shout out to J-Lew.
Yeah.
We got to get him in studio.
Maybe have him in studio for an hour to BS about the whole situation.
Well, get him to sell
No, that would be such a, that's too good of an idea. That would make our life too much easier. We won't do that. We'll just babble on for 3 hours like usual.
We'll get him in here.
No, we won't.
Yes,
we won't.
We'll get him in here.
I guarantee
then do it.
Well, it's not for me to do. What do you mean?
No, it's for me. It's for all of us. It's a good idea, so do it.
All right.
Very
we'll
soon.
Eventually.
Dodo,
we'll
next week.
Happen.
Back there.
We'll
next
get him
week.
On. All right.
We love Jay.
And we'll get him to explain why Nick Nurse, even though he's been on the staff for 5 years,
is the right call.
Is the guy to
the
get
right
him
guy.
Over the hump.
How's he
going to
get them over the hump? Maybe LeBron goes out west anyway, and that helps everybody. Maybe he signs in L.A. or Houston, and all of a sudden you look at a very different playing field in the Eastern Conference.
When's LeBron making that decision? What's the D-Day for that?
I would say around July 10th, oof, something like that.
I'll be interested in that.
He'll buy his time.
I'll be on vacation, but I will be
didn't
interested.
Didn't he announce it on ESPN last time?
Yeah. Well, that was the original one.
When he was going...
When he went to Miami.
Oh, yeah,
it was
going
called
down.
The Decision or something.
The Decision was him and Jim Gray in that gym in Connecticut for some reason. I don't know why they were in Connecticut.
Well, with that guy from Sports Illustrated?
Yeah, it was Jim Gray that was in there. And the last time when he went back to Cleveland, it was right. Lee Jenkins wrote the piece for Sports Illustrated.
And it was put out. I was in Vegas. All I remember
it just got posted all of a sudden.
Yeah,
I'm going home.
Vegas.
And that's why I'm saying I think what he's got to do now is he's got to call into a talk radio station and announce it because he's done TV, he's done print. Now you got to do radio. So he should call into a radio show, probably Overdrive.
You don't think he'll do it on an Instagram post?
I don't know how he's going to do it.
Like the letter to his former self?
In third person?
Oh, I could totally see that. Oh, I could totally see it.
Yeah. A picture of little LeBron in a Lakers jersey.
At some point,
you've
we'll
been waiting for this. It's time.
We'll have to have prop bets on where he's going to.
Well, if he leaves Cleveland, I think a big part of his message will be to Cleveland, not right. to his new team, right? Like, let's say he goes to the Lakers.
Right.
I think that becomes secondary, trying to endear yourself to the Lakers, because he doesn't have to. He's LeBron James. People right. in L.A. will be going crazy. I think the majority of his focus will be trying to explain it to Cleveland. Like, hey, this is why I'm leaving again.
Right.
This is why I'm out of here.
I don't think they're going to care this much this time.
I don't think they will either. He got them a title. They went to four NBA finals.
Yeah, they're fine with it.
Be gone.
Houston.
You're calling Houston?
I think so.
I'm saying Lakers.
I feel like the Lakers, too.
But not with this.
He's got property. He's got a biggest.
Not with the ball kid.
The Lonzo Ball
think,
stuff.
I think
I
it's.
Know.
Dude, I
want to
hear that song tomorrow.
I think he calls Magic and says, if that guy's on the team, I'm not.
Do you have that Lonzo Ball rap? You do have some of it?
Play some of it.
Play
I
a little
hear
bit
this
of it.
Garbage.
Who are you without ZO2? Just another dude with a bunch of tattoos. You ain't got no shoe. Nike wins, cools lose. Claiming that I can't shoot, but all these words is hitting you. Boy, you talking crazy. Why you trying to play me? You ain't on my level. You ain't famous as my baby. I'm working out daily,
right,
but I ain't posting
that
this
is terrible.
Now, a lot of people are saying that they're really good buddies and they've been going back and forth all year, which they have been, but LeVar Ball was on with Cowherd today, Colin Cowherd, and he's like, they're not that close. They've only been together for a year. Now, maybe that's LeVar Ball just shooting off. But even if they are that close, you're still making this into a production and a show, and you're goofing on each other publicly with a diss track.
Maybe. I'm not even kidding. If you said you had LeVar Ball on, and I probably have a wingman with me, I'm not being a part of it. I'm not interviewing that guy.
No, I kind
of
I
would. You would recuse yourself? Of the show.
That's just, I'm sorry.
You'd be here with me.
I'd be here, but I...
Dude, you hate him more than I do.
I do, but I also...
You are a hater.
You guys are haters.
One more time for that one.
You are a hater.
You gotta give him credit, man. He's got some good drops.
He does, but no, not better than Donald Trump.
You are a hater.
You are a hater. Stay in your lane.
Yeah. Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
I like that.
It's a beauty.
Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on Boston and Baltimore. Philly tonight at home against Colorado. Over the number in the Yankee game. Throw down 20. You can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio. And get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
We're back tomorrow. We're coming in hot at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.